Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Come on, praise the Lord, everybody. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We must rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. I believe somebody said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Anybody grateful to be here this morning? Amen. Amen. It is my honor and privilege to stand before you on this holiday weekend, this Thanksgiving holiday, where we are grateful to see another year. Amen. As I stood and held hands with my family this year, we should all be reminded of who didn't make it to see another one. Amen. But we are grateful to see another year. It's my honor and privilege to stand here in this great Tabernacle Missionary Baptist Church. I never take it for granted when any of us have the opportunity to see each other. Amen. And to be in each other's midst. Grateful for my mother here. Amen. Grateful for her. Down for the holiday. So I'm grateful for my mother who made me sing my first solo standing about right there. So I am grateful for her. We're going to get into the word of the Lord today. And go with me to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Are y'all ready for the word? Y'all should go ahead and get y'all a notebook out. Y'all can stand for the reading. I'll read it all, then I'll sit down and work through it. Amen?
Amen.
If your pencil don't write, this is the time to get you a good writing pencil. If your ink pen is out of ink, you should get you a good old ink pen. Tear you off a sheet of paper from your notebook. Get you a napkin or something to write on. We ready? From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Isn't that something?
Come on now.
Saying, God forbid it, Lord, this shall never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. For you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.
Yes, sir.
For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it.
Yes, sir.
But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Come on, this is good stuff, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? It's the last verse. For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels and will then repay every man according to his deeds. Just turn to the person next to you, your left or your right. It don't make no difference. Just tell them this is what it takes. Go ahead and have a seat. Say it again. Say, this is what it takes. This is what it takes. This is what it takes. The scripture that we have before us is familiar because we often hone in on one verse. And honestly, I'm going to work with that verse a little bit today, but the reason that I started at verse 21 is because I needed us to have some context in order to set the setting of what's going on during our time. Now, Just by way of introduction, let me be clear. There has never been a time where we did not need the Lord. Oh, come on. Y'all can look at me if you feel like. There has never been a time where we did not need the Lord. But, however, what I have found, brothers and sisters, is that sometimes stuff get to going so good that you forget how much you need it. Things are going well and you're able to pay one or two bills and you're able to buy one or two Christmas gifts and your credit score done come out the gutter and you've been able to do a couple things and buy a car or two and you mess around and forget just how good God is. It is not until things began to get a little difficult that you go back into your, Lord, I need you. It's not until things change in your life and you find yourself on the other end of what you wanted to happen that you say, God, I need you. Yeah. It's not until you mess around and figure out, apart from me, I can do nothing. That is the scripture, y'all. Yes, sir. That we end up frantically looking for something that we have no idea how to find. Yes, truth is, some of us need some help. Do I have anybody in here who's willing to say, Lord, I need a little help. A little help. A friend of mine used to call a little HBO, little help a brother out. I need a little HBO. I need a little help because if you don't have Jesus, now let me just stop for a second. If you've tried to do it without Jesus, what I'm about to say is going to make perfect sense. Now, I know some of us in this room, you've always done everything the Lord wanted you to do. You ain't never made no mistakes. Every time the Lord told you to do something, you did it exactly to the T. You didn't never deviate. He asked you to do it on Monday morning, and by Monday afternoon, you had already said yes. But for the rest of us, for the rest of us who know what it's like to go back and forth with God and to not always do it his way, there are times where we say, Lord, my bad, I need you. I can't do this thing without you. And sometimes we find ourselves with questions, but we don't have answers. We find ourselves with pain, but we have no path to healing. We find ourselves with needs, but we can't find no resources. Because here it is, it's like, God, I want to find the path of the Lord because I need your direction. I need the presence of the Lord because I need your comfort. I need the power of the Lord because I need your hand. But where in the world are you? Yeah. Some of us need to tell the truth. Lord, I need you and I don't know where you at. And so today I want to tell you what it takes to daily be with Jesus. Now, I'm setting all of this up in this way because some of us think that we have Jesus when really all you have is tradition. Oh, boy. Some of us think we have Jesus when really all we have is our church experiences. You see, I was in church my whole life, but I didn't meet Jesus till a much longer time. I had to come to know him, as the old folk would say, for myself. See, I knew how grandma felt about Jesus, and I knew what my grandfather felt about Jesus, but I hadn't been through nothing. It was not until I had my rock bottom. It was not until I was sitting there all by myself and said, Lord, I can't call grandma right now because she's gone, and I can't call my grandfather because he's gone too. I don't even know what to ask my father. I had to find him for myself. And so I want to speak to this group about what it really takes to be with Jesus daily. Well, wait a minute. Why is that important? Well, I know, if y'all taking notes, Psalm 16:11, we're not going to go there, but put it in your notes. Psalm 16:11 says, in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Mm-hmm. Psalms 23 says that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, you comfort me. Psalm 91 messed around and said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It seems to me, if we just perusing through the text, that it's good to be with Jesus. As a matter of fact, I am reminded of the words of the hymn writer, which says, and he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own, and the joy, y'all, we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. It behooves us to be with Jesus, but I would argue that some of us don't know what it takes to daily stay in that spot. When people get to talking to you crazy, we say stuff like, I'm going to put my religion down. When stuff go bad for you, you get to saying stuff like, I ain't got to go through all of this, and I'm not going to take all of this. We need to daily stay with Jesus. And so when we look at our text, there is a short phrase that we will get to. It's a phrase that we see at the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. It's a phrase that we see in the midst of his ministry. And it's a phrase that we will see now. Two words. We don't like, Alan, we don't like these words. Follow me. Oh, see how it got funny all of that? Follow. We don't like those words, Reverend Jackson. I know we say them all the time. Jesus said it to the disciples. You had a group of people who came up to Jesus and they said, I'll follow you wherever you go. Or the King James, whithersoever. I will follow you whithersoever thou goest. That's what the King James said. And Jesus responded to them. He says, foxes have holes.
Yes, sir.
Birds of the air have nests. Son of man ain't got nowhere to lay his head. Let me give that to y'all in 2023. You want to follow me? I'm homeless. Let's see if you'll still be with me if being with me is not going to be as comfortable as you want it to be. Let's see if you'll follow me. Well, let the dead bury the dead. I don't like that. Lord, I want to follow you, but I also want things my way. There is a conflict that happens when you say, I want to daily be with you, but daily being with you don't look the way you want it to look. And so in verse 24 of our text, let's jump into verse 24. Let's work a while. In verse 24, I've only been up here 9 minutes. Y'all give me a few more. In verse 24 of Matthew 16, it says, and we'll read 24 and we'll just work down through here a little bit so y'all can get some context. 24 to 27. Look at this. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must, Lord have mercy. Y'all see them two words? It's on the screen. He must, not he should, not it would be nice, not if you feel like it, not when you got time. He must deny himself. As a matter of fact, the Luke account of this text says, and take up your cross daily, and follow me. Whoever wishes to save his life or lose it, whoever loses his life for my sake or find it, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Son of man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels and will then repay every man according to his deeds. So let me give you context. Take this off for a second. Let me give y'all some context. Now, if you were to go back during your study this week, I challenge y'all to read the entire chapter, because what you will find around verse 13 is that Jesus is having a conversation with the disciples and they say, who do men say that I am?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, some say. And some say. Well, who do you say? Peter's like, you are the Christ, Son of the living God. Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't tell you that. You didn't get that. You got that from the Father. So watch this. I need you to understand that between verse 13 and 20, they have just been made aware that Jesus is the Son of God. Y'all walking with me so far? They've been made aware, Reverend Allen, that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, right after that, in the very next verse, Jesus starts telling them in verse 21, and I'm going to die.
Yeah. Well,
this creates a problem.
Yeah.
Hold on now. Now, if you were just a man and you said you were going to die, that's one thing. But you just said you're the Son of God, and you talking about you're going to be hurt and crucified, and you're going to take up a cross. And we don't know about all. So watch. Peter's rebuke was really a rebuke of fear and love. Oh, Lord. The Bible says he took him aside and rebuked him. Why would Peter do such a thing? Because I don't want to lose the man who I just figured out who he is. You just told me who you were. And now you're telling me you got to go. No, this can't happen. I want to hold on to you. I want to make sure you're with me. Come on now. If anybody's ever really had an encounter with Jesus, you don't want him to go nowhere. I'm talking about when Jesus was the only one that could help you. Lord, don't you go nowhere. Just stay with me. Has anybody ever had Jesus come through in the nick of time? Has anybody ever been in a situation where you were like, Lord, that was nobody but you? Come on now. If it wasn't you, I don't know who it was. Come on. The doctors was done with you, but Jesus. Come on now. You didn't have enough money, but Jesus.
Jesus. Everybody told you no but Jesus. And when that happens and you began to understand just how good God is, you ain't trying to let him go. And so listen, Peter's rebuke was not him being upset or arrogant. It was, I ain't trying to lose you, man. I'm not trying to lose you. But please notice that Jesus' response was, get behind me, Satan. Now, he didn't say, get behind me, Peter. Because sometimes the devil can use people. And you got to be able to differentiate the enemy within them from the person. Oh, come on now. This is why Ephesians 6 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Sometimes you wasting your breath telling the person off. But come on, some of y'all saved, sanctified, full of the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. You got to be able to tell the enemy within them. Oh, let me slow down. Y'all sit for a second. It ain't them. It's what got a hold of them. It ain't them. Come on now. Some of us have just come from a time with our family. Didn't even speak to some of your family members because you're still upset about something they did 20 years ago. But you got to be able to love God enough to separate what's working within them from who they are. And so Jesus in the moment says, listen, you are derailing me from my victory. You're derailing me from my promise. You're derailing me from everything I got to do. You got to get behind me, Satan. You're not going to take me aside and get me off my assignment. I wish there was a couple of folk in here who said, no matter what, I'm going to do what God says. I'm going to do what God says, whether or not you like me. Yes, I am. I'm going to do what God says, whether or not you think it's important. Yes, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do what God says, whether or not it's popular or not. Because sometimes God will cause you to walk on a road that nobody else thinks you should walk on, to get to a place that nobody else thinks you can get, to obtain something that nobody else thought you could obtain, only to be a blessing to people who never liked you in the first place. He begins to tell them, I got to suffer. And I love verse 21. He must go. Yeah. He must go. He must go suffer. Yeah, I can't help it. Look at what it says. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and raised up on the third day. Here's the pain point of our text that I've tried to get you to. If you're going to be with Jesus daily, here's the part we don't like. So do you. Yeah. Well, see how? Yes. I love it when the room starts feeling like that. Jesus tells them, come on, I just gave you out of context. You are the Christ, Son of the living God. And even though I'm God, I got to do this. And so do you. Because if he got to do it, what make us think that we better than him? And so, oh yes, I thought we were talking about this is what it takes, because he says, if anyone, look at verse 24 again, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must. Wait, for my Bible students in the room, 21 said, I must. 24 says, and so you got some must to do too. You must. You must deny. You must take up your cross. You must follow. Too many of us, I believe, think that because Jesus already did it, that we don't have to do it. We're busy telling the Lord, you know, thank you for your blood and thank you for the cross. And it's good to thank him for it, but what about yours? Yes, he did what he must do, but are we doing what we must? Now, 17 minutes. Y'all give me a few more. The scripture shows us three essential steps. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow. Three essential. You don't get to pick. You don't get to say, okay, I'll do the following, but I don't want to do the denying. And we're going to talk about all three of them today. But I need to give y'all a prerequisite, because you don't understand the scripture by asking the question, what did it mean to you? You understand the scripture by understanding what it meant to them. So when Jesus tells them, there's two things we have to understand. That the original audience of the scripture would have taken everything Jesus just said literally. Y'all missed it. See, we read the text and we see like take up your cross and we try to make it figurative. But that's not the way they would have heard it. Because the cross was a normative way of capital punishment. So when Jesus said take up your cross, all of them would have went, oh God. We know exactly what that means. As a matter of fact, most criminals were actually crucified on a cross upside down. The fact that Jesus was crucified right side up was both prophetic and necessary for his heel to bruise the head of the serpent. That's another whole message. Y'all got that? That's another whole sermon. Y'all understand? And so the original audience would have taken everything literal. And the second part we have to understand is Jesus is not going to ask us to do something that he wouldn't do. Yeah. And here's the pain point. And he already did it.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
And so we got 3 points, Reverend Jackson. The first thing that we must do, write this in your notes, is I must deny myself. I must. I thought we was doing what it takes today. I must deny myself. Now, please notice, let me give a couple of opening points to these three. Complaining is not one of the things you must do. Sowing discord is not one of the things you must do. Come on now, being mean, angry, arrogant, that ain't in there. Pride is not in there. But the first thing you must do is deny yourself. Now, we love to jump to take up the cross. It's like we read past deny yourself like it's not in the scripture. And I think it's because we don't necessarily know what the scripture is saying, but many times, watch this, to deny yourself means to take me out of it. So many times we make decisions based upon what we want or based upon how we feel or based upon this is the way that I would do it. But if you want to daily be with Jesus, you must deny yourself. The word deny actually means to refuse to acknowledge.
Yes, sir.
Now, I didn't like that.
Yes, sir.
The more I began to read into this, Deacon Beasley, because, wait a minute, refuse to acknowledge myself.
Yeah.
You mean to tell me, Lord, if I want to be with you, I must refuse to acknowledge me. I got to refuse, if I want to roll with you, I got to refuse me. He says, yeah, because watch this. You can't roll with me if you don't trust that I love you more than you love yourself. So if you're busy trying to take care of yourself, how you gonna be with me? In order for you to be with me, I need you to first give up on yourself because you trust that I can do a better job with you than you can do with you. Oh, come on now. I serve a God who's better with me than I am with me. He can love me more than I can love me. Because you'll mess around and give up on yourself. I wish I had some truth in here. You'll give up on yourself. You'll get mad at yourself. You'll get so frustrated with what's going on within yourself that you'll stop talking to yourself. You'll even stop grooming yourself. You'll stop bringing yourself out of the own house. You'll sit yourself in the dark. You'll stop eating yourself. But the Lord is like, I know how to deal with you because I made you. And I love you so much that even when you give up on you, I'll never leave you comfortless. You got to deny yourself. Let me give you another reason you got to deny yourself, because feelings are dangerous. Let me talk to the choir. Hey, y'all. Feelings are dangerous. Let me say it one more time. Feelings are dangerous. They are the worst leaders you can have. I feel. See, give it 10 minutes. You'll feel something else. Because if you, watch this, if you make decisions based upon how you feel, in a few minutes, you'll stop feeling that. And if the, watch this, if the person you feel it about changes what they did to make you feel that way, you no longer feel that way towards that person. Now you've made decisions to, watch this, be in a relationship, connect to, talk to, whatever, a person that no longer gives you that good feeling. You got to deny yourself. Well, I don't know that that's in the scripture. Sure it is. Sure it is right there in Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, Lean not to your own understanding. It's right there. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. See, the issue that many of us have, many of the things that we ask in the Lord to get us out of is because you lean to your understanding and got yourself in a circumstance that only God can get you out of. When you deny yourself, you are saying what Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. Remember, I told you he won't tell us to do something he won't do. But we're also saying this. Y'all okay? We're also saying this. I want Jesus more than I want my way. Oh, okay. Let me let that sit for a second. See, I thought, step one, deny yourself. And what you're saying is, I want Jesus more than I want my way. You still ain't in here. Let me talk to that group back there. What you're saying is, I want Jesus. Yeah, thank you. More than I want my way. Some of us want our way so bad that we'll deny Jesus to get it. You'll look over the will of God. You'll look over what Jesus got right there in front of your face because I want my way so bad. I want to do what I want to do so bad that I'm about to ignore Jesus in order to get it. And then when I get what I'm owed, I'm going to ask Jesus to pay the bill. When I deny myself, I want Jesus more than I want my way. When I deny myself, I want Jesus more than I want to be admired. Oh, I want Jesus more than I want to be admired. Y'all got to understand. I remember when I stopped preaching in suits and ties. I remember that. I remember when I stopped because, I'd come to the pulpit. I made sure I was good and clean. Y'all hear me? I'd put on my suits and my ties and everything was matching just the way it was supposed to be. And I remember that I was in the church and I was preaching and it was a young couple. They hadn't been married very long. And I got finished with the sermon and I stepped out of the pulpit. I had on a three-piece pinstripe suit. Yes, I did. Nice custom cuff on it with a beautiful tie, a beautiful blue French cuff shirt with the white cuffs. I mean, I was clean that day. Y'all hear me? I was clean. And I stepped out of the pulpit. And the young lady came to me and she said, "Your sock game. I love your socks. Them was the nicest socks I've ever seen." And right there, I got convicted. I said, "I done been up here preaching for a whole hour and all you saw was my socks. You didn't hear nothing I said. You so busy looking at my appearance that you miss Jesus." Hey, and some of us want to be admired so bad that you miss Jesus. You'd rather people give you applause than applaud the God in you. And so you put up this image and you look good, but you ain't good. And you smell good, but you ain't good. And you talk good, but you ain't good. And we're now in a season, Tabernacle, where God is about to pull the cover off of your desires and show you what God really wants for this house. Yes, Lord. And you got to deny yourself to get it. Y'all, excuse me. You got to deny yourself. I want Jesus more than I want my way. I want Jesus more than I want to be admired. I got one more. I'm still under deny yourself. Here it is. I want Jesus more than I want to get people back. Yep. But so-and-so did this to me. And? Well, who gonna get him? Jesus when he feel like it and if he feel like it. But he ain't gonna do it the way I want it. See, that's our problem. We want to get people back the way we want to get them back. Because some of us in this room ain't forgotten no cuss words. Y'all. Oh, I know. We in church. Some of y'all ain't forgot. You still know how to get people told. And the Lord is like, "Hush. Be quiet and let me deal with it." Because sometimes the way the Lord deals with your enemies, yes, is by promoting you. Yeah. Sometimes you'll never see it. Sometimes you'll never feel it. As a matter of fact, sometimes the Lord will make sure and he'll make this thing happen right in front of you. May the Lord watch. Between me and thee, while we're absent one from another. So the first thing I got to do is deny myself. Here's my second thing I'm talking about if we're going to do what it takes. The second thing I got to do is I got to take up my cross. Come on here. You don't get my cross. You don't want my cross. I don't want yours. As my grandfather would say, I don't want yours. I don't want yours. You don't want mine. But we got to take up our cross. Remember, the disciples knew what crucifixion was. So when Jesus talking about taking up their cross, they say, so we got to die for this. And the Lord is like, yes. Yeah. And I'm about to as well. See, the English translations of our Bible kind of mess some things up, Reverend Allen, because we read texts like this, where he says, but ye shall receive power. This is Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. That's Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And we read that and we go, okay, I'm going to be a witness. I'm about to be a famous preacher. Until you understand that the word witness means martyr. Everybody's signing up for Jesus' stuff, but don't want to do it Jesus' way. If we're going to do things for the Lord, there's a part of you that's going to have to die. Okay, wait a minute. I done already went through all this painful denial. Now you're telling me I got to die. Trust me. The part of you that has to die is the part of you that can't, is going to keep you out of heaven. You want that part of you gone. It's called the flesh. If you want to daily be with Jesus, you can't be there and you have live flesh. You cannot be. Matter of fact, watch this. The New Testament says it like this. In me there is light and no darkness at all. Anytime the scripture talks about darkness, it's referring to sin or the flesh. So anytime you got flesh within you, what you're saying is my presence is antagonistic to your presence. Now, if you okay being disconnected from God, then you don't think God's presence is important. Oh, okay. But me, I can't do nothing without Jesus. I don't want to drive to the mall without Jesus. I ain't trying to sit down in no restaurants without Jesus. I ain't trying. Come on now. Just the other day in Beaver Creek, Ohio, there were some individuals that I'm sure were walking into Wally World. Come on, they was going to Walmart to get whatever they was going to get. They wasn't thinking about nothing. They went on into the Walmart just like any other day. And watch this. As they went into the Walmart, it was not on their bingo card that they was going to see somebody who had this carbine 45 caliber weapon come in and go to shooting. That wasn't on their bingo card for the day. And if they hadn't walked in there with the hand of the Lord on them, see, don't just go to praying when you come in here. You got to get up every morning and say, morning by morning, new mercies. Don't just go to praying when you come in here. You got to go into Walmart and say, if there's anybody in here that may mean me no good, God protect me. You got to send your kids to school. And you got to say, listen, as my child leaves out of this room, protect them, God. Make sure, but you can't do it if your flesh is alive. Because if your flesh is alive, you want your stuff more than you want his stuff. And I got to kill it every day. We do this in faith. See, listen. I won't stray from the path of the Lord because the part of me that wants to stray, I killed it. Oh. Okay. If you are struggling with something, crucify the part of you that wants to struggle. This ain't real hard. We make it hard. He says, you want to come after me? First of all, deny yourself. Let me give it to you. I don't know what that is. Let me give it to you in 2023 language. First of all, you don't know what you're doing. You see how we just felt some type of way? I do know what I'm doing. Young man, I've been saved longer than you old. I know what I'm doing. I know the Lord. I met the Lord down in the foothills of Georgia. I know Jesus. I know him real good. I didn't say you didn't know the Lord, but when it comes to the Lord's business, we don't know what we're doing. You got to give that up. I got a bunch of degrees and I done read a bunch of books, but they mean nothing when it comes to the plan of the Lord. I got to surrender all of that. Y'all hear me? I've sat with the most brilliant minds in the world. I've walked on the White House lawn. I've met senators and congressmen. But when it comes to the things of God, God, you in charge. I don't know what I'm doing. Lord, it's all about you. Lord, but you can go to planning and scheming, and this is what I think, and this is the way I think it should go. But when it comes to moving with God, God, you in charge. And I'm going to follow you wherever you go. I'm going to do it. It don't make no sense to me. It ain't got to make no sense to me. Just like they told him to go wash in the Jordan River. That don't make no sense, but it made sense to God. Just like he spit in the ground and made mud and put it on the boy's eyes. That didn't make no sense, but it made sense to God. Just like he had the woman who was caught in adultery and he let her go. That didn't make no sense, but it made sense to God. And there are some things that God wants to do in this place, and it might not make no sense to our mind, but it makes sense to God. And if you're going to do what makes sense to God, you got to deny yourself. We are not that smart. We are not that brilliant. God, I want you more than I want to be right. I want you more than I want to be admired. I want you more than I want to see people get told. I want you more. Y'all sit for a second. I got 10 more minutes and I'm done. The part of me that wants to do wrong, you got to kill that. The part of you that wants to seek your own will, you got to kill that. I know it's right. The part of you that wants to retaliate, you got to kill that. As I was putting this message together, that thing, that retaliation thing kept coming up in my spirit, Reverend Jackson. Because we're at a time where some of us feel like you done had enough. Let me minister. I'm looking out among you. Some of y'all feel like you done had enough. I ain't dealing with this another day. I done had enough now. I done had enough. I done stayed silent long enough because I don't know who y'all think I am, but you don't know me. Come on now. Anybody ever been there? See, y'all looking at me real smart today, but has anybody ever got to the point, Lord, I done had enough. I'm tired now. I'm a little weary now. I done bit down on my lips so much that I can't feel my lip no more. And the Lord is like, look, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Don't you go to opening your mouth now. Don't you go to moving now. Just when you think that you're about to lose it, God is like, here I am, a very present help in the time of trouble. And you got to deny yourself. I'm not retaliating. The part of me that wants to retaliate, I crucified it. Some of you have it. You keep that part of you alive, and you think you can feed it and call it on demand. Oh, man. Come on now. Y'all know how we do. Huh? Somebody do something, and you already telling them. Huh? What that song say? Don't push me, because I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. And you're sitting up there, and they keep pushing. And you telling them, huh? Let me change eras because some of the younger folk don't know that one. Y'all gonna make me lose my mind up in here. But I'm reminded of Jesus because he ain't gonna ask me to do something that he didn't do himself. Who's sitting there on the cross being spit on, Lord Jesus. They done pulled the hair out of the man's beard. And he's there, and the Bible says he ain't got nothing to say. And that's not even the part, Deneen, that's not even the part that gets me. You want to know what gets me about Jesus? Let me tell y'all what gets me, Rem Jackson. When he gets up on the third day and sees the disciples for the first time. Y'all, let me let y'all into my world. Because some of y'all love a good I told you so. Jesus sees the disciples for the first time, and I'm expecting him to have a showdown. Like, I can't believe y'all ran. I told y'all I was coming back, and y'all weaklings, y'all scaredy cats, can't believe y'all did that. And then I really want him to get Peter. Oh, yes. Oh, Pete. Oh, I need him to get. Come here, Pete. What was that you said? Not once, not twice, but three times. Oh, you don't know me, Pete? You don't know me? Huh? You ain't been with me, Pete? Come on, Peter. I healed your mother. Y'all not in here. I went to your mother's house when nobody would, Peter. I fed you when you wouldn't, when no other rabbi wanted you, I took care of you, Peter. And you mean to tell me, but guess what? Jesus didn't do that. Jesus comes back, he don't get nobody back. He don't get nobody told. He don't say nothing to nobody. Instead, he says, let's eat. Let's eat. I ain't got time to get y'all back because the part of me that would retaliate is crucified. I ain't got time to get y'all back because I've denied myself and I've taken up my cross. And here comes the last part. Here's the last number three. Follow me. Follow. No. Follow me. Follow me. Now, this was not, this not only means to go where Jesus goes, but it also, the actual word right there, follow, means behave. Uh-oh. So if there was a young person in the room right now, and I got to walking around, and I told them to follow me, they would just walk around behind me. But that's only 50% of what Jesus was saying. He also said to behave like I behave. Uh-oh. Which means that I think there's a lot of people in church that are not followers at all. We show up where we say he is, but we don't behave like he behaves. Oh, no, that's not what he meant. Sure, it's right there in the Bible. The works that I do, shall you do also. And greater works than these. The question we must ask ourselves is, are we behaving in the exact manner as Jesus would behave? I think the answer for many of us is, I'll be generous, sometimes. I think I'm being generous. I think for many of us the answer is, occasionally. If the sun is out and I ain't feeling irritated, and if all my bills is paid and I ain't got that one phone call from the person I don't want to talk to, I'm good. But don't put no circumstances on me. See, please hear me. When the people turned on Jesus, he kept on doing the will of God, and he did it without an attitude. Will you? Who is quiet in here? I said, when the people turned on Jesus, he kept on doing the will of God, and he did it without an attitude. Will you? When his closest students, when they ran from him and denied that they knew him, he kept on doing the will of God. And he did it without an attitude. Will you? When the family of Jesus, the Lord gonna let me teach this one day, mocked him. And watch this for everybody who's always blaming every problem on their lack of father. When the family mocked him, and nowhere during any trial do you see any mention of Jesus' biological father being anywhere around. As a matter of fact, all the theologians pretty much posit that Joseph died when Jesus was a teenager, which means that his entire ministry was done fatherless. Do not tell me. Oh, Jesus, don't tell me that because you've had a bad biological that you can't connect to an amazing amazing spiritual father. Don't you tell me that. He kept on doing, I know, that done hit somebody real good this morning. Huh? And done touched somebody, right? Because I sat there and I went, now where was Joseph at the cross? Where was Joseph when they were ridiculing him? His mother was always around, but you never see Joseph, and you never hear Jesus complaining about not having Joseph. Okay, let me give it to y'all like this, because I know I'm in the house today. Let me give it to you like this. Stop making excuses for what you just don't want to get over. Because some of us want our way so bad, we're looking for any reason to have it. I know it. I'm letting it sit in the room. Some of you right now are mad at people, and you don't even know why they were the person that they are. Okay. Oh, that feels good. When the road to victory, Jesus is like, follow me. But the road is going to kill me. It's a road of mocking. It's a road of ridicule. It's a road of a painful death. It's a road of lies. It's a road of deceit. That's the road I got to be on, and so do you. It's a road where people going to turn on you. It's a road where people not going to like you. It's a road where you're not going to be popular. It's a road where people are going to think you should go left and I'm going to tell you to go right. It's a road where you're going to be able to do things and everybody's going to say it's not going to work, but I'm going to give you strength. I'm going to be your helper. Yes, I am. That's the road I want you to be on. Everybody's going to say it don't make sense. Even today, as I'm preaching this message, some of you are sitting there toiling with coming back to the Lord, toiling with, come on now, the last time I was in church, church wasn't this and church wasn't that. Let me tell y'all something. It don't make me no difference. This church is full, just like every church in the entire world is full of people who still working on stuff. Don't make your decision to follow or not to follow Jesus based upon the people in the hospital with you. We all showed up to the same ER. Don't you discharge yourself from the medical unit just because the person in the room next to you is bleeding just like you. We all in here bleeding together. We're going to encourage each other. We're going to be here for each other. But in order for us to do that, all of us got to make a pact. All of us got to say, we're going to do what it takes. What is it going to take? It's going to mean that I got to deny myself. This ain't about me. I got to take up my cross. And here it is. Sometimes I'm going to fall down with my cross because it's going to get heavy. But somebody's going to come in, and just like they did Jesus, they're going to reach and grab you and help you do this cross. Please understand, Tabernacle, I know some things are going on. I know sometimes it feels like it's hard, but everybody, we got to make a pact. We got to get in this thing together and say, all right, y'all, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do what it takes. I told y'all last time I was here to be builders, but this time I'm going to say, let's make a pact. Let's do what it takes. I need everybody in here to deny yourself. It ain't about you. Ain't no agendas. We're throwing all of our personal agendas out. It ain't about what you want. It's about what Jesus wants, because I am not going to stand in this community and let this community die all because we trying to have superstar preachers in these pulpits. We're looking for Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We need Jesus, the Rose of Sharon. We need Jesus, the Lily of the Valley. We need Jesus, the Brian Morningstar. I don't need no lights. I don't need no smoke. I need people to make a pact. We gonna do what it takes. We got to do what it takes. Deny yourself with your smart self. Deny yourself with your degreed self. Deny yourself with your been here a long time self. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. And then let's all get on the same road. I said, let's all get on the same road. Jesus, you walked it, so it's going to be all right. And when we get up off this road, just like you rose on the third day, we're going to rise up too. And when I get up, I'm going to be better than when I went down. Come on now, I speak prophetically to this place that there is going to be a third day rising. Yes. And this place is going to come back better than it ever has been. Because if God be for you, Tabernacle, who can be against you? That's what it takes. I come against every faction. I come against all of that. This is what it's going to take. A pact. Everybody, deny yourself. Single, solitary one of us. Deny yourself. But I feel them feelings is dangerous. I think, no, all I want is the mind of Christ. But the last time, I don't want to talk about the last time. What about this time? I'll read this text and I'm out of your hair. I'm 2 minutes over my time. There's a blessing if we do what it takes. Now, I've been preaching long enough to know y'all ain't got to listen to a word come out my mouth. Y'all can do whatever you want to do. Huh? You grown. I'm going to tell y'all what I know. It's a blessing in doing what it takes. I'm going to tell y'all I done seen stuff left for dead. Okay. But there's a blessing in doing what it takes. Here it is. Go to put verse 25 through 27 on the screen. 25 through 27. I said there's a blessing. Whoever wishes to save his life. Look at this. Whoever, leave that verse up there. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Take that verse down for a second. I'll come back to 26 in a second. Here's what got me. Here's what gets me about this verse. When the Bible says, I come that you might have life, John 10:10, have it more abundantly. Okay? The word life in John 10:10 is the Greek word zoe. I'm not trying to sound smart. This is important. It's the Greek word zoe. It means the presence of the divine within man. But in Matthew, where he says, whoever wishes to save his life, that word life ain't zoe. That word life is suke. It's where we get our word soul. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. Wait. Let's read it like that. Put 25 up for me. Whoever wishes to save his soul, oh, will lose his soul. Whoever loses his soul for my sake will find his soul. Put that down. What is the soul? Your mind, will, emotions, intellect, and imagination. So wait a minute. If you trying to save your mind, you'll lose your mind. But if you lose your mind for me, I'll help you find your mind. If you try to save your emotions, you'll lose your emotions. But if you lose your emotions for me, I'll help you find your emotions. If you try to save your will, you'll lose your will. But if you lose your will for my will, I'll help you find your will. God Almighty. Y'all hear me? In other words, what he is saying is, there's a blessing in giving some stuff up. Because watch this. Let me tell you, we ain't stronger than God. You trying to hold on to them little mental nuggets and all of that type of stuff. Lord said, give that up. You'll go crazy trying to hold on to stuff he want to take from you. Now, put 25 up, and then I'm going to read 26. Here it is. Watch this. Whoever wishes to save his soul will lose it. Whoever loses his soul for my sake will find it. Now 26 makes sense. Look at 26. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Look at that. What is it going to gain? What do I have to gain? Put 26 up. What do I have to gain if I got everything and nothing? So you got your way, but you went against the Lord. You won the argument, but you lost Jesus. You cussed them out, but disconnected from the divine. You got your money back, but you lost God's will. You got the new car, but you broke your family. You got a brand new house, but your kids don't want to be with you. What does it profit? What does it profit? Some of you in here, I'm introducing you to someone who can give you everything you need plus more. His name is Jesus, not you. Verse 27, here's the blessing. for the Son of Man is going to come. Here's the blessing. 27. The Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father. And with, watch this, his angels. And will repay. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me if I do it right, Jesus is coming to repay me? See, what difference does it make if people are with you down here, but heaven ain't with you? As a matter of fact, I would argue this, and then I'm going to be done. If you want your way more than you want the way of God, then you've actually missed everything he died for. When the disciples asked Reverend Jackson, teach us to pray. There's a line in the model prayer. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Which means that my daily prayer is for earth and heaven to match. So if I'm in pursuit of my will, but it don't match with heaven, me and God ain't on the same page. I now become the adversary of heaven. It got quiet. It is in this moment where some of us need to pronounce our very own nevertheless. Not my will, but your will be done. So that you can learn that his strength is made perfect in your weakness. Tabernacle, trust me. His way is better. Trust me. I tried my way. I can save you a whole lot of heartache. I'm trying to tell y'all what I know. I tried my way. Now again, y'all grown. Do you know. I'm just talking about your own personal lives. For the few of you who even today, when it comes time to come to Jesus, I'm about to, you know, give y'all that opportunity to respond to the word. Trust me when I tell you, your way is not better than his. His promises are better than yours. His future is better than what you can give yourself. But you got to be willing to do what it takes. What is that, Bishop? Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow. God bless you. If there's anybody here, come unto Jesus. Why?